code 7777.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, the flies on the wall, talking to Jim Mosley and Kevin Randall. Kevin's new book is called Reflections of a UFO Investigator. Jim is editor-publisher of Saucer Smear. And Kevin, you were basically defining further after mentioning the members, the mission of the Roswell Dream Team, looking at this as a cold case. Does that mean basically throwing away all your conclusions and just starting over, looking at the information to see what you can decide might be the cause behind it?
Well, I think if you look at the team membership, you've got a couple of people, and to point fingers specifically, Tom Carey and Don Schmidt, who are rabidly in the extraterrestrial camp. I tilt that way. I think it was extraterrestrial as well. But I like to think, and I hope I can, that I look at the evidence and go where it takes us. Tony, I think, is pretty rabidly in the extraterrestrial camp, and I think Chris is pretty much on the other side of the fence. So I kind of straddle the fence. Chris is all alone on one side, and the other team members, and David Rudiak, of course, are on the other side of the fence.
Now, the question I think a lot of us had, yeah, about putting Tony Bergaglia on the team is that there's a questionable nature of his claim that the Sicaro, New Mexico case was a fraud dreamed up by college students. Do you think that makes him a more or less credible person to have on your group?
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Thanks, Gene.
You're very welcome, my friend.
Well, I think what it does is, I mean, I disagree with Tony's analysis of the Coral case. I think he's wrong on that. But it also suggests that we can look at the cases from different points of view and still work as team members. There was originally the idea that it wasn't actually college students who had done it, but it was high school students who had set something up to get even with Lonnie Zamora back in the 1960s.
It would have to be college kids. Not, I've never heard high school kids mentioned.
I think Phil Klass mentions high school students in his book, but maybe that's a misnomer on my part. But I know Tony rapidly suggested it was the students at the School of Mines there in the New Mexico Institute there in
school. Well, the idea is that Lonnie Zamora supposedly was a very hard-nosed cop and had been unkind to the college students and had arrested them for speeding unnecessarily or too often or so on, and that they were dying to get even with him, and no doubt they might have been, but whatever was seen there was a highly advanced craft, and I would think you'd need a lot of time and money and expertise to build anything like that, and I think it's off the wall to think it was a hoax. I love hoaxes, but I don't think that's one of them.
I agree with you. I don't think it was one either. But I think what it demonstrates is the team members can come to divergent opinions and still discuss things rationally. And I know that Tony's enthusiasm sometimes take rein, but there are other members of the team to hold those enthusiasms in check. He's very good at finding people. He's very good at talking to
He is a good researcher.
People.
He's very good at digging.
And we've got a long list of names and phone numbers of people who were at Roswell in 1947. I know Tony published something on his blog not too long ago where he was really annoyed at a couple of the guys who said, well, they weren't even there or denied their service, and he thought that was just outrageous for them to do so. I disagree with him on that analysis, but...
Well, why do you? I disagree with him on that particular point.
Well, I don't... Let us say for the sake of argument that Roswell was extraterrestrial and you have a number of people involved in it, then they are told at that time, do not talk about this ever. Don't mention it. Don't say anything about it. And so now we get 60 years into the future and somebody calls them cold and wants to talk about this, and they're remembering what they were told back in 1947. And the easiest way to get the guy off the phone is, I wasn't even there. So
I don't understand his whole point on that particular item, because it doesn't seem to me that a man would deny that he was in the service and was present at that location at that time, because I suppose that could be proven. His oath of silence wouldn't, it's made ridiculous, you might say, by him denying that he was even there.
But it's the quickest way to get somebody off the phone. Well, you got the wrong guy. It wasn't me. I wasn't there.
And, well, maybe so.
You know, I've conducted an awful lot of these discussions, and I remember calling one guy, and I knew exactly who it was, and his response to me was, I don't know who you are. I don't know what's classified. I don't know what's still classified. I don't know what's been declassified, and I'm not going to talk to you. Well, that's the end of that discussion pretty much at that point. So I can understand it's the easiest way to get somebody off the phone. You got the wrong guy. I've talked to, and this is, I kind of tell the story about Glenn Dennis. Glenn Dennis was mad at Don and me because we hadn't found his nurse yet, the famous Naomi Self.
Yes.
And I said, you have to understand that there are a lot of people in the country that have the same name. I said, for example, we're looking for Robert Slusher, and I talked to a guy just this afternoon who had been in the Army Air Forces, had been a member of the Air Corps, had been in World War II, and it's the wrong guy. And Glenn Dennis said to me, oh, I know Bob Slusher. He lives over in Alamogordo. And I called over, and it was the right guy. But, I mean, the point simply is there's a lot of people with the same names. And
well, yes, but do you agree with me that by now we know as a fact that the nurse did not exist under any name?
I would agree with you on that, yes.
Okay, thank you. Because I remember, and it sounds odd, but I'm pretty sure it's true, it was Popular Mechanic a number of years ago that sent somebody out to look for the nurse. They found only one nurse still alive from that year at that hospital, and she was in a nursing home, and she hopefully still had her mind together, and she did not remember a nurse by any name that fit the description that was given.
We can go further. We had the name in Glenn Dennis's tale that the nurses had been killed in an airplane. The nurse had been killed in an aircraft accident that killed five nurses in Europe. Well, Don Berliner went to the Stars and Stripes, which is a military newspaper printed overseas for the soldiers, and he could find nothing to a story. I went to the New York Times. Back in the pre-internet days, the New York Times printed an index, so I went through the indexes from 1947 through, I think, 1954, looking for aircraft accidents, because they're listed in there, and you could find it. We could find no evidence of an aircraft accident that killed five Army nurses. Vic Golubic found 20 nurses who had been assigned to either the base in that time frame or had been assigned to other hospitals that dealt with the military in that time frame and couldn't come up with the name of the nurse. There was a listing of 125,000 nurses from the World War II era that had been collected, and her name didn't appear on any of those rolls. And once we got to the point we could say with confidence that there was no woman by this name as a nurse at the base in Roswell or any of the hospitals in Roswell, however you wanted to set your search parameters. And Glenn Dennis says, oh, well, I didn't tell you guys the real name.
Well, you know, I would.
Zero. What I was going to point out, though, is simply this. He gave us the name. He told us he told me in confidence what it was and said, don't tell anybody, and then proceeded to tell everybody else in the free world what the name was. We looked for that nurse, and once we eliminated that name as a nurse, his answer was, I didn't give you the real name. I told you I was going to give you the real name, and that's not exactly what he said. He changed the parameters, and he lied about it. So at that point,
Wouldn't you have a right to be very angry at Glenn Dennis for putting you and the other researchers into a great amount of trouble for absolutely nothing?
Yes. A police officer and I spent $250 on a search for the name using databases that are accessible to the police. I mean, we went to a lot of effort, and yes, I was very annoyed about that. And I think and I'm supposed to be pushing the reflections of a UFO investigator, but in the Randall Report published in 1997, I repudiated the Glenn Dennis story at that point.
Next week on the PowerCast, we'll have a special all-star episode where we will honor Lucius Farish, whom some regard as the Rock of Ufology, next week on the PowerCast. Our sponsors will be very annoyed if we don't do this. We have Kevin Randall with Jim Moseley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
In the past, I've taken a lot of different vitamins, some through health food stores, some that friends recommend.
Colleen talking about her experience with Super C-Veg.
And with the Super C-Veg, I was seeing a lot better results.
Super C-Veg with Vita D and C-Cal is the most powerful dietary food supplement in the world today, and nothing else comes close.
Super C-Veg is a whole food that makes me feel good.
Think of Super C-Veg as the un-vitamin.
I have taken other things, and they just didn't work. This seems to work for me.
And Super C-Veg comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
Store-bought vitamins do not have the supplement and the full, whole feeling I have from Super C-Veg.
Get 15% off your first purchase on our website, SuperC-Veg.com. That's Super, S-E-A-V-E-G.com. At checkout, enter coupon code UNVITAMIN. Or place your order at 866-C-VEG. That's 866-732-8344. Eating Super C-Veg daily is eating right.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Warning, the unprepared may not survive the next natural disaster, terrorist attack, or economic collapse. In light of recent global unrest and natural disasters, we bring you this urgent message from David Morris, author of the acclaimed Urban Survival Course. Because this message is urgent, we won't waste time on the why you should act now. You already know why. It's the very real and growing dangers reported in the media every day. Now it's the what you must do. Go to freesurvivalminicourse.com and claim your free urban survival mini course that will prepare you for breakdowns in civil order. Today, David Morris is offering you instant access to his 7-part urban survival mini course at freesurvivalminicourse.com. You should already be at your keyboard. Enough talk. Act now while you still have time and while it's still free. FreeSurvivalMiniCourse.com. FreeSurvivalMiniCourse.com. Or call 877-403-7076. 877-403-7076. You'll be glad you did.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the PowerCast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
Kevin Randall's current book is Reflections of a UFO Investigator, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't mind if you buy one of his older books. And if you can find a copy of Shockingly Close to the Truth by Jim Moseley. He wants you to buy that.
And I have actually read Shockingly Close to the Truth. I have a signed copy from signed by Carl Flock on my bookshelf.
Oh, did I sign it?
No, you didn't.
Well,
but,
my
but,
gosh.
But Carl,
send it
Carl
back
did.
To me. Send it back to me, and I'll sign it. And of course, I'm lying. I won't send it back to you, but I will sign it. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, well, no, actually, I don't have any copies of it myself except my own copy. With Glenn Dennis, I find him fascinating because other than Professor Moore, I think the only Roswell witness that I have interviewed myself is Glenn Dennis. I went there to the museum once. I forget, I was there two or three times. I forget which time I talked to him, and he was very nice and very talkative. I thought he was a little odd. He said, you know, you've come at a very bad time today. This is just one day that I'm terribly busy. I don't know how much I can talk to you. And he talked for about an hour or something, and then he said, oh, there's something I got to do. Don't go away. I'll be right back. And he did that two or three times, and he always came back. And he ended up talking at least two or three hours plus the time in between. And I figured correctly, I think, well, this guy likes to talk. And he does, you know.
What's interesting about it is he'd always say, well, I can't talk about it. I don't want to tell you the story. You know, don't want to be interviewed. And yet he always would sit down for the cameras with one exception. And I don't know what the guys did to offend him, but he wouldn't sit down with them. But everybody else that has ever approached him to talk to him, he's always been very open and very, very talkative about what he had seen. Like you, I just don't believe his story.
Is he in a nursing home or something now? I heard that.
The last I heard, he was extremely ill. And I don't know if he survived to this point or not. I really don't know.
One other thing that, you know, it took me years to come to the conclusion that I'm going to mention to you, and I guess I'm very slow on the uptake. I think I, too, years ago, had the wish that this was interplanetary, which stopped me from seeing obvious things, and that was the whole idea, as I understand it, that the military called him on the phone at the funeral home and asked him to prepare, I forget, 3, 4, 5 small coffins, because I don't know if they went on and said exactly why they needed them, but as I think about it now, what insanity. If you've got a thing with interplanetary bodies and it's so highly classified that people are threatened and made to hush up forever about it, but you just casually go to the phone and call the local undertaker for some coffins. Don't you think that's impossible?
Well, not necessarily impossible, but I think it's highly unlikely. And like I said, I do not believe Glenn Dennis's story. And here again on the Roswell team, I am in disagreement with Tom Carey and Don Schmidt on that. They still think there's something valuable in the Glenn Dennis testimony. But I think once he pulled that stunt where, well, I didn't give you guys the real name and I told you it wasn't going to be the real name. When he pulled that stunt, that was where he lost me completely.
Oh well, I don't blame you at all.
But and other things, I mean, that he should have known. He took us to the base hospital and he showed us the back door where they carried the stuff in. But in 1947, the base hospital that he took us to didn't exist. That was built in like 1952. and I'm thinking that had he been involved in this event, he probably should have remembered what the base hospital looked like in 1947. And there were other little things like that. He was talking about this big romance with the nurse, but he was married in 1947 and his wife was pregnant.
Well, that wouldn't necessarily stop him.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, I mean, that goes to suggest something about the character of the man, and it just add that to everything else.
Let me ask you this, which is far more important. As far as I know, the last witness who was talking about dead bodies was Glenn Dennis. Is it true, do I have the right impression, that all the previous people, Anderson and a bunch of others, I have their names here and you know who they are, is it true that as of now, there are no stories involving actual bodies that are considered believable?
That's not true. I think Pappy Henderson.
What story involving bodies do you still consider to be true?
There's a number of them. Pappy Henderson, for example, talked to his wife about it. There's Frankie Rowe. And I know Carl, in his book, had eliminated the firefighters from the story. And what's interesting there, when we talked to one of the firefighters that Carl had interviewed, and as I've interviewing this guy, he's telling me essentially the same thing he told Carl, that they weren't involved, they didn't go out, they didn't see anything, and okay.
You're talking about Carl Flock.
Yeah, Carl Flock. So that's right. So I asked the guy another question, and I don't think Carl asked him the question. I said, did you know Dan Dwyer, who was Frankie Rowe's father? And he said, oh, yeah, Dan went out. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, Dan went out there. He said, a colonel came from the base, and I've always wondered why it's always a colonel. It's never a captain, never a major. It's always a colonel. Came out from the base and said, you guys don't have to go out on this one. We've got it covered, so just forget about the whole thing. But Dan Dwyer went out in his personal car, and he talked to his daughter, Frankie, and he talked to his other daughter, who's now Helen Cahill, I think it is, talked about having seen the body. So there are some credible stories about the bodies that are still around. The problem is we get mixed up with people like, as you mentioned, Gerald Anderson, who clearly wasn't telling the truth. We get mixed up with Frank Kaufman, who clearly wasn't telling the truth. And I'll be the first to admit, I believe Frank Kaufman when he started talking to us. And we would find little corroborations for Frank Kaufman. His picture's in the yearbook, the 1947 yearbook, produced by Walter Hott. So clearly he's in Roswell in 1947. He's associated with the base. They're giving him some medal in the picture. And looking at it closely, I think it's a World War II victory medal. So I don't know why there was a big presentation for that medal, because everybody who served in World War II got it. So there were some little corroborations for Frank Kaufman, but it turned out that Frank Kaufman was forging documents and making up the story. And I freely admit that I believed him in the beginning. He seemed to be very credible to me. Seemed to be
but
a nice
guy. But you think that there are still, you sound like two or three stories that you.
There are some good stories that talk about the bodies, and we're finding some things. And granted, some of the stuff that we're uncovering now isn't all that exciting. I talked to a guy last week or 2 weeks ago, who was not directly involved. I mean, he was at the base at the time and was not directly involved. By the way, the guy is a Packers fan, in case you're interested, Green Bay Packers.
I didn't know that.
But we were talking, and he said that his friends had been involved in it, and they told him a little bit about it. But clearly we all agree something fell near Roswell, and the government, the military, recovered it. So now we're to the point of, let's see if we can figure out what the heck it was.
We're going to figure this out first. We have Kevin Randall, Jim Mosley joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack, attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack, attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack, attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off of your teeth both as a vapor and as particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 10 trillion cells of your body to produce produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We are the flies on the wall. We're not the men in black, the galaxy protectors, but the flies on the wall. Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, with Kevin Randall and Jim Mosley. And Kevin wondered between the two segments why we haven't jumped in with too many questions, and the reason is that Jim is doing all the jumping in.
Well, thank you. He's the jumper inner.
I hope you're paying Jim for his interviewing of me.
He gets a free plug.
Let me say this, Kevin. I read the book, and I was very interested in several of the other cases that you talk about investigating. Some of them you found to be hoaxes, and same ones that I would assume to be hoaxes. So, you know, the whole book wasn't Roswell, although about a third of it was. I have to say that in regard to these other cases, in my opinion, you seem like you're down the middle and you're ready to go either way. But I insist, as I have in Smear, and now that I've taken you off the mailing list, you may not have seen Smear recently, but I really think that you are, obsessed is a mean word, but I think that you are totally biased about Roswell, only that one case, because you obviously have a very strong will to believe, which is not a fatal flaw, but it makes it hard to do an impartial investigation.
I would say I would argue your point that I'm obsessed with the case, because I get off involved in other investigations, such as the Rhodes photograph, the Willingham investigation, which really annoyed me. And I try to take an unbiased look, and I try to look at the Roswell case, and I will grant you that I'm certainly leaning in that direction. I'm certainly biased toward the Roswell case, but I try to look at all the evidence that's there, and we've uncovered some interesting things about Project Mogul that will be coming out as soon as we nail down some of the facts and figures. One of the things we're attempting to do is according to everything that we have, is Project Mogul, the launches in New Mexico, they were required to notify, and according to Charles Moore, the El Paso FAA station about the launches so they could produce a NOTAM, a notice to airmen, about this possible aerial hazard to navigation, aerial navigation. And so we're trying to find an archive of those NOTAMs, if such a thing exists, to see, so we can see exactly what it said. Because I think that would be an important thing to learn. What did the NOTAM say? Did it describe what the balloons and the arrays looked like? Did it give you some interesting details? Or was it just be on the lookout for a big balloon display or something like that? It'd be interesting to see what that said and compare it with some other things. So we're looking for those things to see if we can nail down some of this stuff.
Well, let me ask you, there's five of you, and as you explain yourself, you've all got slightly different views on the Roswell case, and that's to be understood. But are you saying that you really believe that you can get all five of these people to, at the end of your investigation, to sign off on all the same points, and that you will all be in total agreement on the final answer?
No, I don't think that we're going to do that. I would hope that we could do that, but I'm not sure that we'll be able to do that. I mean, with Dr. Rudiak's memo, the Ramey memo, I've been an outspoken critic of the methodology used to decipher the memo, and Dr. Rudiak is well aware of that. And I know Tom Carey and I have not really argued the point, but discussed the point on a number of occasions. So he believes that the memo says victims of the wreck on the first line. I'm not sure that you can decipher it that closely to decide that. There are points, but the other side of the coin, the Air Force said when they were looking at the memo, well, we can't decipher anything. Well, a kid with a magnifying glass can see Fort Worth, Texas, and weather balloons in the memo. So there are points that you can read, and you can read them pretty clearly. So the Air Force saying, well, we couldn't read anything is bogus, I think, as people saying, well, we can read the whole memo. So,
well, I think you're probably wasting your time there. You're just on the borderline of perception. You're into an area where you could almost, I could imagine that you could read it in all sincerity and see one thing, and I could read it in all sincerity and see something different.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
Our background belief is different.
But what I'm hoping is, as our technology improves, that we might be able to determine what it says to reach a reasonable consensus. And I think if you watch the old In Search Of program a number of years ago, they had a thing on Anastasia and whether Anna Anderson was really Anastasia, the woman who claimed to be the wife, the missing daughter of the Tsar. And at the end of the program, I said, well, we may never know. Well, we do know, because when that program was made, nobody had ever heard of DNA testing. And, of course, the bodies of the Tsar and his family hadn't been found. But now we have DNA testing, and we can say that Anna Anderson was not Anastasia.
Well, you have a very interesting point. I saw that movie, I think, with Ingrid Bergman, if I'm right. And it's a lovely movie, and, they certainly steer you into a wishful thinking or belief that it really is her, and I don't follow it closely, but you're absolutely right. We know for sure now that it wasn't, and it's kind of sad in a way, because I wish it had been her.
Yes, so do I. I agree. But what I'm saying is, as our technology develops, and I know that there are two different groups now attempting to apply some of this new technology to the Ramey memo to see if they can read it better. I'm of the opinion that it's not a digital photograph, it's a regular photograph, and the halides of silver are pretty much halides of silver, and I don't know that we're going to be able to resolve it to a point where we can get a consensus reading of the memo. But I think it's something that we need to look at, and so that's one of the things that we're going to do. We're trying to develop some documentation, some additional documentation that may give us some better knowledge of this. One of the things was the so-called Hoover memo, where the Air Force had asked the FBI to investigate actually the backgrounds of UFO witnesses, and Hoover had written on the back of it something to the effect, I would think we should do this, but we need to be given full access to this recovery.
I'm familiar with that.
Well, it says in the L.A. case, but you can interpret that L.A. in a number of different ways. It could be SW for Southwest. It could be 2A. It could be SO for Soviet. But what we found was a typewritten version of that in another memo where it clearly says L.A. And I think the facts of the Shreveport, Louisiana hoax from July of 1947 pretty well establishes that what it says is L.A. So it doesn't relate to Roswell. It doesn't relate to the Southwest. It does nothing to advance our knowledge of the Roswell case. But it's one point that we can eliminate as cluttering the landscape and confusing people about the documentation. So we're searching other avenues for documentation.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. But let me just as a general thing, you've got a case here, not only it's cold, it's roughly 65 years old. We have no bodies, even if somebody saw some at the time. There are none that we know of now. We have nothing but testimony. We have no physical evidence. We have only that photograph, that famous photograph taken in the general's office.
Seven photographs taken.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, fine. But
which clearly show a balloon and a radar reflector. Yes.
Well, okay. Now I've never gotten that straight. You and I'm sure a lot of others think that the wreckage was substituted. I can't imagine they went to that trouble. How and when and why did they substitute it?
They did it in Fort Worth. And General DuBose told us that the material in Ramey's office was not the material found in Roswell.
I find that awfully hard to believe that they went to that much trouble. It just doesn't seem reasonable.
But then let's look at it the other side of the coin. Do you find it reasonable that Sheridan Cabot, who was a counterintelligence agent at Roswell, and I make these identifications, Jim, because I know you know who they are, but some of the people listening in.
Don't get me wrong. You are the Roswell expert.
We have another expert who needs to talk to you right now. We have Gene and Chris. We're sitting back listening to Jim Rosley and Kevin Randall. And that's the fly on the wall, Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Thousands of items, 47 categories, 101 name brands. Attention all outdoor geeks now listening to this broadcast. Your outfitters of outdoor gear and electronic gadgets is WildernessGeek.com. Discover a retail superstore of emergency survival, firearms, tactical accessories, camping, boating, hunting, and search and rescue gear like the life-saving laser flares used by Coast Guard and other rescue agencies. WildernessGeek.com is your electronic supplier of two-way and shortwave radios, GPSs, marine electronics, and portable solar chargers. Plus, WildernessGeek.com has experienced emergency search and rescue service personnel to help you find what you need and learn how to use it. And the best part? Free shipping on orders of $100 or more in the continental U.S. Plus, 5% discount to all radio listeners and rescuers. Go to WildernessGeek.com. That's WildernessGeek.com, the electronic outdoor emergency survival gear superstore.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original BioMat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assists in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
I wondered what that bizarre noise was.
Well, some are telling us to buzz off with this show. That's what it is. We have Kevin Randall, Jim Moseley, and you're with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and we're just sitting back and saying, you know what? Kevin, Jim, you can just keep talking, but we're not going to spend it all on Roswell. We spent about half the show on Roswell. Let's wrap things up here.
He spent a third of this 260-page book on Roswell, and
I spent a lot of time in Roswell, and I think it's justified. But what I was saying about Cabot was, Jim, for you, is Cabot told me flat out that he'd never investigated a balloon. Now, you think it's reasonable that he goes out on the field with Jess Marcel and Bill Brazel, and he knows immediately it's a balloon. But he doesn't bother to tell Jesse Marcel. And he calls this crap back to the base in Roswell, some 65, 70 miles away. He doesn't bother to tell William Blanchard, the base commander, that it's a balloon. Nobody on the base is able to recognize the balloon in the radar target except for Sheridan Cabot, and he doesn't bother to tell anybody. Does that make sense to you?
Well, as I started to say before, you know more of these details than I do by far, and you probably know more of these details than anyone else. So, I mean, when it gets down to that, I'm lost. I just think that after 65 years with no physical evidence, et cetera, I just can't imagine how you can solve this, and indeed why you even try. That's really my point of view.
Because if we can come up to a consensus conclusion, we either eliminate the Roswell case from what's going on, or we have the evidence that we need to suggest that there's...
I don't think you can do that either, because there are these tantalizing clues around which you're talking about and which I can't explain. And so you're always going to have some kind of a question mark, but in a case like that, you have to just say, well, the most you can say, never know for sure. For me, I'm about as sure as I can be, but, you know, if you came up with a little man that had been overlooked until now, I'd certainly listen to you.
And we're hoping that we were able to, by mining some of this territory again, we're able to find some of that information that will be much more persuasive than just the testimonies that we found to this point. So that's, we're seeing what we can do. And it strikes me as the old gold miner adage, which is, you may not expect to find the gold, but you got to look.
You're not going to find it unless you look.
I have a question, Kevin. What is the possibility of being able to uncover some sort of smoking gun documentation, possibly from government archives? Or I know an incredible amount of work has been done already to find any sort of existing documentation. But is there any possibility that could actually happen?
There's always the possibility because people screw up. If you remember the way we found out about Project Moondust is somebody made a FOIA request, and I don't know whether it was Robert Todd who initiated it or it was Clifford Stone who initiated it. But one of them made a FOIA request to the State Department and got 11 microfiche with documents that referred to Moondust, which is the government project to returning space debris of unknown origin or foreign manufacture, and UFOs was part of that. And of course, the project was classified, and the name was classified, and we weren't supposed to know about it, but somebody screwed up, and we ended up with those 11 microfiche. So, we're looking in the places that people have looked and maybe have missed something. We're trying to think of places that people didn't look that might give us some additional clues, that might provide us with something. And Jim's right. We may not be able to find anything that would be the smoking gun. But then again, we're going to make a real effort to do this and do it as scientifically and as neutrally as we possibly can, understanding. And I understand, people are going to say, well, you're biased. And I freely admit that I'm biased, but I hope that I can look at it at least in an objective light.
Don't you think the length of time is a problem? I mean, I've seen somewhere, and I don't remember where, one of you was interviewing a grandchild of one of the original witnesses. I mean,
that would not be me. Well, yes, that would be me because we were talking to the grandchildren of Sheriff Wilcox. But the thing is, Jim, I can say, well, let's go back to Anastasia. That was an event that took place even longer ago, that was hidden by the Soviet Union, completely and totally buried, and yet today, nearly 100 years later, we now have a solution that we didn't have in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, but a solution that we have today.
And so you're right about that. Yeah.
So we're going to take what we hope is an objective, unbiased look at Roswell and move on from there. I know that Gene had a question about something else. So,
all right,
I'm directing your show, Gene. I'm sorry.
Well, actually, I think Chris had the question. Chris.
Oh.
I've heard over the years claims of people squirreling away pieces of the metal, and I've never seen anybody actually follow up on some of these claims and then produce any sort of results. What is the likelihood that perhaps Bechtel or one of the materials companies of the time may have gotten a hold of some of the metal and possibly a source from one of these archives could be located? Have you guys I'm not as familiar with the Roswell case, obviously, as you guys are, but has any sort of work been done to try to figure out where this metal could have gone for analysis and then made appropriate inquiries?
We assumed in the very beginning, and when I say in the very beginning, that would be back in 1989 when we began, that somebody would have picked up a piece of debris. And we followed any number of those leads. I know it was suggested Pappy Henderson had a piece of debris. And when we visited with his wife after Pappy passed away, we visited with her out in California. She showed us where all his documents were stored in this big, huge shed in the back of the house. And she thinks, well, it might have been in there, but he might have given it to somebody else. We followed up some of these leads. We've actually got a lead to a possible diary that somebody kept from 1947 that would give us maybe some clues. Tony has been following up with, I think, Bechtel, as a matter of fact, on some of that possibility. So we're following some of those leads. To this point, no, we don't have any samples of the metal at all. We don't have the bodies, we don't have samples of the metal, and we have limited documentation. So we're kind of fighting an uphill battle in that respect.
Let me ask you, just slightly different, but still Roswell. Tell me the story of Kent Jeffrey. I take it that he was a pilot who got interested in Roswell, and he sponsored a petition to the government, the usual thing, to tell us the truth, blah, blah, blah. But then he went to a reunion of the 509th whatever in Roswell and came away disillusioned and more or less dropped the whole thing. I mean, that's just an outline. Tell me.
Well, let's make a couple of things clear. Kent Jeffrey was never in the military. He was not a military pilot. He was an airline pilot. And so, I mean, given that, he does not understand some of the things that go on in the military environment that I understand because I've been in the military environment. In fact, I was a military pilot at one point. But you're absolutely right. He was a rabid believer in Roswell. He began the Roswell petition to get people to sign to send to the White House, thousands of petitions to get them to come clean about what was going on. He spent a lot of money hiring attorneys to protect the witnesses who would come forward and tell their stories. And one of them that came forward was Frank Kaufman. And I think one of the things happened was Kaufman talked about a general that he knew who was involved in this and gave the name to Kent and his father. His father was a retired Air Force colonel. A fighter pilot was a AAA. So it shot down 15 enemy planes. And since his father was well-connected into the hierarchy of the Air Force, they made inquiries about this general that Kaufman knew, and nobody knew who the hell it was. And I think that began the disillusionment of Kent Jeffrey. But then he went to a reunion, and he was talking to the pilots there, and they said, well, I never heard anything about it, and if it had happened, I would have known about it. And in the military environment, that's not necessarily true. You may think you're connected in there, and you'd know everything's going on, but sometimes you don't. And I know in my position, when we went to Iraq, there were very few of us in our battalion, and the battalion was 650 people. There were very few of us in the battalion who had top secret clearances. And so there was a lot of stuff that we knew that we didn't share with a lot of the other people because they weren't cleared to know it. So sometimes
we have to share something with you, ladies and gentlemen. We have Kevin Randall. We have Jim Moseley. Gene and Chris are behaving as flies on the wall. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.